This is Twit.
Late last summer, Uber acquired self-driving startup Otto to much fanfare. If you've been following along, you know the deal now stands at the center of the legal battle between Alphabet's Waymo and Uber. Kate Conger from Gizmodo dug deep into the details of the purchase and is here to talk about what she found. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So first things first, you write that after the purchase, Otto's intellectual property got funneled to Uber through a shell company called Apparate. How clear are we that this is a Harry Potter reference?
I mean, I very much want it to be a Harry Potter reference. I sort of got the Glomar response from Uber, which was that they could neither confirm nor deny whether the employee who named the company was a Harry Potter fan. So I'm rooting for Harry Potter, of course, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, so why did they create this shell company?
So Uber creates a lot of shell companies for tax reasons, and this one in particular was created to manage Uber's intellectual property specifically for self-driving cars. So they put a lot of the patents that they acquired from Otto into the shell company. They also put a lot of their own self-driving car patents into this company as well.
So talk a little bit about the timeline. The timeline is what, I mean, they say this is a coincidence, but when the shell company was established and when Anthony Lewandowski, the center, the founder of Otto, who worked for Google and then worked for Uber and works for neither now, what's the timeline between when he left Google and when the shell company was created?
So he left Google in late January of 2016, and in February he signed a contract, a purchasing agreement with Uber to sort of start the acquisition process. And at the shell company was formed the day after that agreement was signed. So the timing really lines up as if this company was created just to handle the transfer of Otto into Uber. Uber, of course, would dispute that and said that it was a broader effort to manage their intellectual property on self-driving cars.
I'm curious to know kind of about, you talk a little bit in your piece, you write about the value of royalty rates in speculative technology, which you could consider self-driving technology to be somewhat speculative. It's the value of it is relatively unknown. We haven't entered a world where self-driving cars are everywhere and there can be a value placed to that in society. So explain how this could really benefit Uber if and when that technology takes off, if it ever does.
Yeah, so Uber's arrangement with their intellectual property is a little weird. Normally, how companies might handle something like this, they would do all of the development with the patents still in the United States and write off those development research costs as a tax write-off. And then once they had a product that they were ready to bring to market, they would move the patent overseas to kind of take the profit from that intellectual property into a more tax-friendly nation. What Uber's doing is a little bit different. They are transferring their patents very early before they're bringing something to market. And so they kind of have the advantage of setting a friendly royalty rate when they license that technology back to their United States company, where they can say, this is how much this technology is worth. And there's not really anything in the market to dispute that or to price the technology against.
And so you talk to representatives from Uber. How do they explain why they're doing this?
They said that it was the establishment of the company was just sort of a larger part of their process of managing their self-driving car unit. And it's something that they do for a lot of their tax purposes. They have many, many shell companies outside of the United States. And so they said that this is just part of how they're managing their self-driving technology.
Now, of course, we've followed the story pretty closely, the Uber Waymo case that continues to escalate and all the craziness that's ensuing behind the scenes on that. Is there any way that these offshore holdings could be affected by the results, the outcome of the case?
What I'm really interested to see with this case is if we get to the damages stage, that is if Waymo wins their case, they prove in court that the technology was stolen. What's going to happen after that is the court is going to have to decide how much that technology is worth and how much in damages Uber would have to pay to Waymo. And so the fact that Uber has transferred these patents and kind of assigned a price to what this technology is worth, I think could be really interesting and really relevant once the damages stage rolls around.
So where does Otto stand now? I mean, are they doing anything? Are they developing technology? Are they moving forward on the self-driving truck technology?
That's a little bit confusing. Otto sort of split in two during the acquisition. So there's the main Otto technologies that went into Uber, and they are developing technology as part of Uber's Advanced Technologies Group. That's their self-driving car unit. And then Otto Trucking is still sort of off hovering as its own entity, but I'm not aware that they're working on any technology right now.
Okay, thank you so much. Kate Conger is a senior reporter at Gizmodo. She can be found, all of her great work can be found at gizmodo.com. You write about a lot of different interesting tech topics, and you can also be found on Twitter at Kate Conger. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have a great night.